They just hit it. Very soon we are going to share and participate in the rite of baptism. For Darian, a special day. For us, the people of God, a special day. And for all the families closely associated with him, a special day. Baptism, you will know, is about membership. It's about what it means to belong. And I think that's also what the gospel is about. But there are a lot of other things in there to get in the way. No wedding robe, you declare. Why such a big fuss, say I? And what is a wedding robe? Would someone just called from the streets be wearing one? Well, whatever happened, without the wedding robe, even though it was the second invitation by the king was speechless. But not so much that he couldn't say, bind him hand and foot, throw him out into outer darkness. And we have other bits of violence, well, not bits, some prominent bits of violence that are threaded throughout the whole story for some reason. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dreadful times. Now, for us personally, we could have avoided all these questions if those who set the lectionary for us had simply chosen Luke's version of the story, because it doesn't have the violence. There aren't these complicating kinds of features anywhere in the gospel. It's a lovely little story about how few didn't say yes, and so more came along and presumably said no, and the king and everybody else had a happy wedding time. But it would not be so in our reading today. This is what we have, and this is what we will go with. As we will declare in our membership, as we will all reaffirm ourselves with Darian, that membership is defined, made clear. I was just thinking as we were listening to the portion of the letter of Philippians that we read today, and combining that with the promises of our baptism, and we were able to follow that, it'd be a pretty good setup. And membership, I think, would be powerful. So I want to look at that membership, and also, as we are bound, I'm sure to continue the saga of the bountiful tomato crop, that we will indeed want to be reminded where our deep roots are and where the truths and values by which we Christians are expected to be seen are identified. So both of those things, the declaration of membership and the deep roots which sustain us. The story, the setting, is in a scene in the wedding banquet. All is set. The king and the son are ready. Dinner has been prepared. The oxen and the fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Well, everything except the invited guests. And they were busy. They couldn't make it. Maybe we set up another time, who knows. But I have to look after the farm. The business is pressing hard, I must look after it. And so on, it went. It would appear some were just riled up And so they seized the opportunity to grab, maltreat, and kill his servants to put an end to it. Well, as I said, you continue and complete that session. Whatever your standards, however, whatever your standards, by any stretch, they had missed the mark of membership by not showing up. And that had consequences. Now, to come out of the parable itself for a minute, let's just remind ourselves that Jesus is telling the story. They would have heard from him all these marks that are made. The parable doesn't come without a context. And the context was the leadership, the religious leadership of our community is messing up. That's the context. His followers, those who would follow Jesus, those to whom he was speaking, were expected to do the word of God. Why? Well, because we were invited to. We didn't think it up. We were invited by God. And acceptance of that invitation proves our identity as those who will follow by doing, expressing, and showing the work of God. That work, at its very root, is the acceptance. In the acceptance of that invitation lies with their identity as having been called through that invitation, but also as being chosen. But the chosen bit has a little explanation around it. It is the moral demand of all of humanity, says God through the words of Jesus or Matthew or whoever it was that did it. The moral demand of all of humanity is love your enemies. Those are not easy words to hear now. Haven't been for a long time. It's difficult, and the way we operate frequently discourage such things greatly. Nevertheless, that's the mark. That's the invitation we are asked to receive. And in receiving it, in saying yes, I will choose to let that invitation direct my life. We have been chosen, but chosen for that task, not chosen for happy parties alone. We like them too. That could be interpreted as a lot of things, but I think I'll let it be. The leadership of the day had become confused. They thought they were defined by their own accomplishments. I'm a self-made person. Their status in the community or in the state meant they got a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. Meant they could do as they wished. And that indeed they would. And in doing that, in relationship to the invitation to serve God, they had poisoned the invitation itself. Their sense of entitlement had poisoned the invitation of God to service. It's nice to talk about their sense But the truth is, every generation has done it. And I expect in every religion, each in its own expression. We say, I accept the invitation only to follow a lifestyle which denies just that. We choose what acceptance of that is invitation chooses us to do. No wonder we hear, many are called, but few are chosen. Also, no wonder we hear that the emphasis on being chosen is indicated by what we, you, us, choose to do. I get ahead because that comes at the end of the part. And so I just want to go back to recall, within the context of the rest of the, or really the other parable, that the story is told as the word of Jesus to his followers. And I would remind us to further recognize that their recording of it in Matthew's group was happening almost 100 years later. So it reflected what was happening around then. The wedding robe reference, because it was Jesus speaking it in that context, could well be envisioned by those listeners as the garments of Christ. To put on those garments is to be clothed in mercy. To refuse that mercy is to be judged by our own actions. For to refuse the great gift of God's mercy by a preference to rely on my own accomplishments limits what we can do and our activity. We are challenged, can we bear to live with a God who doesn't care how great my status is, who has other marks, who declares us chosen on the result of channeling his mercy? At baptism, we expand this one sign I've identified today and have all the responsibilities listed, eliciting a response to them by all of us together, by our community. And in that context, we consider the marvelous gift of God, the marvelous gift that can even declare our mark is love of enemies. And ask again, where do we find our place in God's mercy?